There's a little bit of ambient sounds in the background. Over there is Chelsea Bridge, and the boys are working away with quite large machines just inside the entrance gates of Chelsea, at the Bullring entrance, I think it is, and I'm looking at the great pavilion in front of me. In true sideshow style, we had this, I think, with Lou Patrons from Green Fingers, and we interviewed her on a stack of pallets next to a skip, and with Joe Thompson when we sat in the Knife for Williams trailer looking at a skip and a stack of pallets. On today's episode, with thanks to CED Stone. Can you hear it in the background? Hopefully it's not too noisy. I'll be talking to Helen Bohm, who is the floral marquee manager for the RHS. We'll hit this intro jingle just now.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sideshow Garden Podcast.
Helen, how are you? You're very welcome to the Sideshow. With thanks to CED Stone, my super duper people who've made this possible. Hi, Jazz. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, Peter. Nice to see you.
Always nice to see me. Good to see you too. I'm joking. I'm only short of singing Carly Simon, You're So Vain. You've evaded me for a very long time, and I'm a Mahusa fan of what you do year on year. And I don't know how you have evaded me, but what you do, well, we get into that in a little bit. Do I call you the floral marquee manager?
Yeah, that's right. I'm the floral marquee manager, and I work at all the RHS shows.
But you do all of them.
Yeah, so I start the season at Cardiff, and then I go on to Malvern, followed closely by Chelsea, and then Chatsworth, Hampden, finishing up at Tatton in July.
We hired a police siren to ring loudly outside, and I'm delighted to say they've actually turned up on time. It's amazing what CED will do to just make this episode sound a little bit more authentic. So thanks for bearing with me on that one. I hope I've talked to you all the way through. I have. Give me a range, just for those who aren't aware, for those who are listening in Salt Lake City, who've never been to a Chelsea or a Cardiff or a Hampton or Tatton or a Chatsworth before. What will we start with? Let's say Chelsea. How many exhibitors are you talking? How many flowers are you talking? How many plants are you talking? How big is it? What colossus of a thing do you make look so damn easy?
So at Chelsea, we have somewhere in the region of nearly 90 exhibitors in the pavilion, and they come from all over the world. So we do feature a lot of British nurseries, but we have exhibitors that come from Grenada, from Trinidad and Tobago and South Africa, as well as Holland and some other places. So there's a lot of different people and exhibits that come along to the Chelsea Flower Show, and it's my job to make sure that when they arrive to when they leave, everything goes as smoothly as possible with their build.
I'll use the term loosely, but how many flowers are you talking are in there, roughly, vaguely? You can discount me by 1,000 or 2,000 if you want.
It's quite difficult to say, Peter, how many there are in there. But just to give you an example, the Chrysanthemum Society, they've got an exhibit that they've created that looks like a rainbow, and they've made it completely out of chrysanthemums. There's somewhere in the region of about 7,000 stems on that display. And also Hart's Nursery that are here, they're exhibiting lilies. They've actually won the President's Award this year. So that's our President, Sir Nicholas. He selected them as the best exhibit in his eyes. I know that they've got around 1,500 stems on their display, and each stem has probably got about six flowers. So even going on to like Raymond Everson, he's got so many clematis blooms out at the moment. Possibly, you know, we're talking tens of thousands on his display. So I really wouldn't want to hazard a guess, but it could be, you know, millions.
Let's put this in context. CED also hired a helicopter to go overhead. This is going entirely according to plan, as invariably it does. But if you take your dozen red roses that you got on Valentine's Day 3 years ago, or whatever that might be, multiply it by 10,000, stick it into the boot of your car, and see how well that goes. How many, or how big? Did I read somewhere that it's the size of four or five tennis courts, the Grand Pavilion, or is it bigger than that again?
No, it's bigger. It's the size of four full-size football pitches. Okay. So, yeah, it's. I mean, when you look at the pictures, the overhead pictures of the site, it definitely sort of takes up the most space here. So it's a really big deal, the Great Pavilion at Chelsea.
I'm baffled by this one because I did the floristry bit. I'm trying to think. Rose B. Morton is who I was talking to. I know was here this year, a former guest of the show at this stage of the game. I know from talking to her and for what I do for a living, which is creating gardens or building gardens, in show garden terms, I can bring in one tree on day one and it's going to sit there looking pretty for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 weeks. If the show went on for 2 months, I'd be relatively okay. The softer, smaller planting maybe would come in at the latter end. And so I apologise to all of the floristry people out there who know Helen, but I'm innocently, albeit horticulturally, educatedly, if that's even correct English, asking questions on the non-floristry professionals' behalf, and I hope I do okay by that. But my point is that you've got a perishable in the floristry thing. So when you want to build your stand, or if you've even ordered wedding flowers beforehand, and you get a bit bridezilla or something like that, and you want to see them 10 days beforehand, the florist will tell you, feck off. You know, I'll give them to you 2 days beforehand because they have to be picked on the Monday. They'll be delivered on the Tuesday. Your wedding's on the Thursday. They'll be ready for Wednesday or Thursday latest. Other than that, they start to do what flowers do and not look their best, maybe. And that makes me think that what you do as an organiser is pretty amazing, or at least what everybody does inside that you orchestrate. How far off the mark am I? Because it looks really simple, but to me, in my head, it's not.
So there's two ways with this. With the cut flower exhibitors, they will know exactly when their flowers are going to bloom to perfection, and they'll time that perfectly for when they're judged on a Monday morning at Chelsea. What happens with floristry exhibitors, they actually get to store cut flower material in big fridges that we have here on site. So say on Wednesday, Thursday, a lot of them will come in early and they will restage. So they are permitted to recreate their displays with new blooms. This means that any visitors that come along on Friday or Saturday, they're going to get the same effect as the people that have been here Tuesday, Wednesday. So it will always look absolutely pristine. With the other exhibitors, so if you're creating a bit of a landscape scene, that tends to be a bit trickier. Well, not trickier, but they have to combat things like the fact that their plants are going to be in a marquee environment. So light levels can be a bit poorer, and they've got to deal with the humidity levels. So it's just their skill and expertise that they know what plants will work and last the length of the show. So, yeah, there's some good skilled people in there.
Without anybody, Joe Public, even noticing, that's like repainting your house every third day because you want it to look the best. I never actually knew that until now, and little people in my head are sort of vilified that I managed to take the time to eventually get you on, and now I'm sort of delighted. I want to go away now and finish the interview a little bit early.
Yeah, so they're skilled people, and we want to make sure that everyone that comes to the show, that every person that's bought a ticket, they're going to get the best experience when they get here. So it's important that, and it's their shop window, they've got to have the amazing displays because it's a really important part of their business. And it's a good face of horticulture that they're, you know, showcasing their expertise.
I met a lot of people in the floral marquees. My first experience was, changing experience was walking into Tatton Park Flower Show. Isabel Coulter is the show manager there. And I met Rob Hardy, a fellow Arsenal fan, and he introduced me to Cookie Boy of Cook's Garden Centre. We had another barrel of laughs. And then he introduced me to Hampshire carnivorous plants. Maybe not so funny when you realise what he does for a living with, you know, plants that eat things that aren't necessarily photosynthetic, let's put it that way. So it's an entirely different kettle of fish. But there are some real absolute characters that operate in the industry, who work in there, who put their heart and soul into it, who travel up and down the length of the country, who do literally from Cardiff and Wales to Manchester, to Tatton, to back to London, and work around the clock. I really do have such admiration for them.
Yeah, I'm lucky enough to work with those characters, and I work with them. A lot of them go from show to show, so they'll showcase their plants at Cardiff, right through to Tatton, and we have some that might just appear at shows that are more local to them. But great characters. We always have a bit of a laugh and a joke. And Rob Hardy, yeah, he's good for introducing people to people. He introduced me to Jo Wiley the other day, so I was very excited to meet her. And yeah, they're great. So it's always good fun.
I bumped into your mom earlier on today.
now you're giggling.
Yes, that's right. You met my mom.
Who was her mate?
Oh, no, that's her sister. That's my Auntie Lily.
Oh, they don't look alike at all.
Well, my mum's actually one of 16, so she's got some sisters that do look like her, but there's a bit of variety across the board.
So how does the daughter of a girl from, have I got it right, is she Kildare?
Yes.
Same as myself, Lily Whites. How does the daughter of a Kildare woman end up as a floral marquee show manager that I literally put up on a pedestal and say, what you do, that thing that you do for a living is something I could never do, but it's amazing?
Well, it kind of has come about in a funny sort of way. I used to be a garden designer, and I worked for a landscaping company for about 12 years after graduating from Rittle College a little while ago. And then I ended up volunteering once at Chelsea. And as a result of that, I decided that I wasn't enjoying the design route. I sort of originally planned to go into commercial horticulture. So I volunteered, and then I thought, yeah, I'd quite like to work in shows. And after applying for a few different roles unsuccessfully, I was then offered the job of being floral marquee manager. So I've been doing this job now. This is my sixth show season. And the role's grown, so apart as well as looking after all of the nurseries at the shows, I travel around the UK trying to find new growers, new plant groups that aren't represented in our floral marquees, new specialists, collection holders that we can then get involved with shows and showcase plants that perhaps haven't been seen for a while. So that's what I do.
I want to take that point on the volunteer bit because a wonderful mention for you, segue to a former guest, the wonderful Matt Biggs, who wrote your HS book, A Nation in Bloom. You should go back and listen to it. You listen at home, not Helen. She doesn't listen to me at all. On every level, even when I'm at Cardiff, being a big Egypt, it's a fascinating insight into what the RHS does. But one of the things Matt brought up was about volunteers and the amount of people who volunteer. So in your case, what did you originally volunteer for, which was the segue into, correct me if I'm wrong, what you're pretty much doing now?
I actually volunteered, it would have been 7 years ago, to be a plant finder. So that was when it was the centenary year of Chelsea, 2013, and they were looking for volunteers who had some plant knowledge that could work in the Great Pavilion and assist any visitors that were looking for certain types of plants. So that's what I came along to do. I did about 3 or 4 days here helping the general public, and it really sort of gave me an insight into shows. I mean, I've been coming to Chelsea for years, hadn't been to any of the other RHS shows, but I sort of got the bug. Once I was here, I thought, yeah, I'd really like to get involved somehow. And yeah, this is where I've ended up.
The volunteer thing in its entirety, though, is sort of baffling in show garden terms. I can say volunteer, but if I take aforementioned names, possibly one too many at this stage of the game, but people who worked on gardens that I've been involved in, no money paid, but accommodation and meals are standard looked after. Others might scratch their head and say, well, why would you want to volunteer for that in the first place? I say some might. The RHS, my apologies, in its entirety, seems to just have, well, it's for the greater benefit of horticulture. You give something back. It's almost like Patreon for those of you. Well, Sideshow doesn't have a Patreon account, but a patron account for people who do things like what I do. I've got CED by my side. What made you, not what makes others, what made you turn around and say, I want to do that I want to volunteer on in any way for the RHS?
I think because I'd been coming to Chelsea for a long time, and when you come along as a visitor, we all know how busy it is here. I just wanted a bit of an opportunity to kind of see it before the public were through the gates. I wanted that time to spend looking at some of the amazing gardens that were here and the exhibits in the pavilion. So, yeah, it was sort of selfishly just to kind of get a look in before it got crazy busy. And yeah, that was sort of the motivation, but also the fact that I had got, you know, some knowledge of plants from working in landscaping and being a designer. It was just nice to be able to share that with visitors to the show.
But it's a bit like you saying to me, Peter, would you like to volunteer to change Keith Richards' guitar when he's on stage with the Stones? I'd go, bloody right I would. I'd do that for a crack. I'm trying to find a horticultural analogy, and I don't know one for the listeners who aren't involved in the horticultural trade who are listening to this, or maybe if you're into Formula One, if you understand me, it might be the equivalent of volunteering for the pit lane. So you wouldn't swap it for the world if when put into that, or for Arsenal in my case. You know, you bite their hand off just to be part of it. And in horticulture, I guess maybe I apologise again to you listening at home, but not everybody gets why you'd volunteer to, inverted commas, what I would call not work at a flower show. What was the next step after that, just to refresh my own memory?
So after that, I went away. I decided to sort of go my own way with my garden design work. So I started working for myself. I actually found it a bit difficult being working alone. I like to be around people, and I like to share, you know, just, yeah, spend time with others in a working environment. So when I was sat indoors trying to draw designs, and the only interaction I really got with my clients was when I was visiting them or doing a garden build, it was just too lonely. So after doing the volunteering and thinking, yeah, I think I'd like to be involved with an organisation, especially somebody like the RHS, I just wanted to pursue a career at the RHS, hopefully in the shows department, which I did.
You can tell me no, but she what? There's people walking by and they're making Helen giggle. it's all good, we're both smiling now. But I had a conversation with a garden designer of recent about crappiest jobs you've ever had in your lifetime. You can tell me that one, or I'll give you a different option. What jobs did you apply for that you didn't get? First of all, how long are you Flora Marquee Manager?
So I've worked now for 5 years for the RHS, but this is actually my sixth show season.
Okay.
So the jobs that I applied for the Chelsea Show Manager job.
Did you apply for Sue Biggs' job?
No, I didn't quite get to that one. So I applied for the London Show Manager job, Chelsea Shows Manager job, the Hampton Court Deputy Show Manager's job, and I also applied to be a schools advisor. So the thing is, I was applying to be in events when I actually didn't have any event experience. So, but I was sort of lucky enough to kind of get my foot in the door for an interview for the London Shows Manager. But they decided to land the Chelsea interview at the same time, which was actually very terrifying.
Okay. I don't ask that to try and paint a negative. It just always intrigues me that when I speak to David Harbour and he tells me that he wasn't always a sculptor, and then you realise like what a vast array of jobs that he did and how he left those jobs and why he left those jobs and how he ended up being what he is now, which is 24, 25 years, I'm hoping the correction that's one or the other, of Chelsea Flower Show in some capacity or other, be it trade stand or show garden. In your case, you've got a different job because the Cardiff show manager Anna gets to move there in a nutshell for a month, but her name is over that door. You're the Floral Marquee Manager for every single show, which means if I design a garden at Cardiff, I meet you there. If I design a garden at Chelsea, I meet you there. If I design a garden at Hampton Tatton, you're there. You're the only person I know who lives on the Big Island who's the female equivalent of me, which is, I have a home, I know where it is, or as I call it, I've got a postal address, but I'm just never there.
Yeah, I mean, it's so intense from the moment I step foot at Cardiff until the end of Tatton. It is an intense season, but yeah, I make it home. I see my family from time to time, and I've got a great husband who supports what I do and lets me go off and do a job that I love doing. So, yeah, it's all good.
I've always said it, and I think I spoke with Joe Perkins about it. I spoke with Ed Burnham about it a lot, that I'm sort of the variant or the person who shouldn't be responsible for little people. People who are smaller than me, not leprechauns or any of that malarkey. I think I've got a bit of a daydreamer in my head, which I want to do things that aren't always necessarily things that will make my accountant smile, if that makes better sense, but I'm quite content doing that. And I appreciate that you're a very responsible mother and a loving mom and a fantastic wife. Right, I've ticked all of those lovely boxes, but you're still rarely there from an elongated period of time, as sure as I would have spent 2.5 weeks approximately in Cardiff. You might have been there a little bit longer or around the same amount of time. Make that happen 5-6 times a year, you're doing an average of 18 weeks away from home for the job that you love doing.
Well, it's not quite as long as say for you in Cardiff. I'm there for a week. Okay. And so, well, it's about 8 days, I think, 8 or 9 days. But with some of the other shows, I'm on site at Chelsea for quite a while, but I live in Essex. So for the first few days, I commute. Then when I'm staying up here, my family comes up to visit on certain days. I'm going to have my birthday on Sunday. So thank you. So they all came up. We went out for brunch and off they go. But they've seen their mum and it's fine. So then next week, half term, I'm going to be at home with them before I head off to Chatsworth. So I do get times when I get to see them, and if they can come and visit me at a show, they get a little weekend away, and it makes it fun for everyone.
I'll put it this way. I sent an email to Sue. There's Sue.
Yeah.
Top.
Okay.
After Cardiff. Between there and here, it was a bank holiday weekend. I can't remember which one, to be honest with you. I got a bounce back email saying nobody's available to take your call at the minute, one of them jobs. Please send it to this address. So I did. Then I got another one saying, well, she's not here either. Can you send it to this address? And then they didn't have a bounce back email. So I kind of stopped it there. And Sue sent me an email back at about 9:30, 9:20 to 10 that night, which was very nice for her. Which I replied back to that again. That's another day's work, and we'll park all of that information to one side. The point I make is that nobody was available. That's not a problem. That's not a critique in any way. Mm-hmm. But it struck me that there was a week off in between Cardiff, the first show, approximately, and the start of this big baby here, before mayhem ensued, and then you end up at August. I say mayhem. I like being away from home, as crass or as terrible as that might sound, and I can't sit still for 2 minutes. You've got a job that is ever evolving. If anybody listened to this, maybe Tim Howell and co, when you see the marquee at Chelsea and then you see what they do at Tatton, and you see the Bus Stop Boulevard shed competition, the wheelbarrow competition, I mean, that's just outside. It's when you take it inside and you see trains going in, you see three-story buildings and water features. Floral marquee to me is just like a big happy land of daydreams where everything is bursting with colour. Everything, as you rightly explained as to how, looks at all times magnificent.
Yeah, I mean, the planning, it takes ages. It's quite a long, lengthy process. So they'll find out in October whether they're in or not at each of the shows. Hopefully lots of happy people that know that they're going to be in. The marquees are already planned by that stage, so we know where they're all going and what they'll be doing.
If I was to set up a floristry nursery in the morning and I apply, let's say it's the 1st of November now, I won't make a Tatton, Hampton, Chelsea for 2020. I might make it for 2021. It's the same as show garden applications in a nutshell, except it's just inside.
Yeah, so the applications, they'll go live. They go live at the end of July. So just after Tatton finishes, we start the whole process for the following year's shows. And the applications are open for approximately 3 to 4 weeks. And once they close, then they go through a process where the show managers make all their selections. We have a few meetings to decide who we're going to pick for which shows. That takes, yeah, goes on for a couple of weeks. We then have to clear our selections through a couple of panels of independent people who are linked to the RHS that involve or include some of our judges, council members. So it's really a sense check to make sure that we're selecting the right people. And we've included some new nurseries in that mix. And once that's been approved, then allocation letters go out in October. So we try and give people as much time as possible to plan their exhibits for the following year.
What doesn't get in, and people may say, for example, oh, I'm not going to such and such, it's always the same. I gather you, on behalf of your RHS, just doesn't want it to get stale. You've got to keep it new, vibrant, fresh, changing year on year. One, two, when you change things, one or two might turn around and get a little bit upset, logically, because that's not there and they liked it the year before. I'll go back and say, you've got a tricky job in keeping, 90 exhibitors entirely happy. And that's just one show. You've got to do that press repeat 4, 5, 6 times a year.
Yeah, we do try and keep things fresh. So we always like to include, as I said before, some new nurseries into our floral marquees. So it brings in different plant groups. And actually, some of the new nurseries that we've had, they've managed to come in because they can apply for a bursary. So if you've never exhibited before with the RHS and you have a plant group that we're missing, you have the opportunity to apply for some funding, which can assist you with your first year of exhibiting. So that's a really useful thing to know. So if any of you out there haven't exhibited before and are interested, then, yeah, get in touch. But, yeah, it's nice to see people when they want to be innovative and try something new. So the show managers will always welcome people to talk to them about ideas, and they can talk to me as well. And hopefully we can work together and try and bring some fresh new content into the marquees. Something else I've been involved with is a project called Master Grower. So this is where we select a nursery who's been exhibiting for a while to come and do a special feature in the floral marquees. So, for example, at Malvern, we had Mendip Bonsai. So he did a display, but he really wanted to do something different to what he'd done before. So it's quite heavily focused on education, and he had lots of demonstrations and displays that were being worked on throughout the show. And it gave him an opportunity to try something new. So, yeah, we're always willing to see different things and try new things.
What is the smallest space, very briefly, that one can apply for in the floral marquee, and what's the largest?
I think here at Chelsea, our smallest exhibit is Hogarth Hosters. And I'm going to say the size is in old money because that's how things have been done, although it's just changing at the moment. I think it's about 8 foot by 6 foot. Okay. That's probably about the smallest size that you could do. But that's obviously you may not know this, but he exhibits miniature hostas. So teeny tiny plants on a tiny staging unit. So, yeah. It's a small exhibit.
And then as big as you want to go, literally after that, I suppose.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Okay, well, look, for you listening at home, if you're stuck, if you're even dreaming of correcting me on anything I might have said, my apologies to you wonderful people of the Great Pavilion, or the Floral Marquees of this great, wonderful horticultural island. Thank you so much for listening to Helen, to the RHS, for their time, and also to CD. If you see them on the street, give them a high five. And if you see them on the Twitter or one of them, tell them I said hello. And thanks for listening. Really appreciate it. Thank you, Helen. Real pleasure.
It's been fun. So thanks a lot, Peter.
You're most welcome. Take care. Have a great weekend. Safe home. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Now, it is time to play.
It's time to kick ass.
My weapon of choice, the turntables.
This is a journey into sound.
P-E-2-Z-Y-B. Mon nom à moi, c'est Benny B. Oui, tu l'as deviné. The Bear Club, Kensington, London, 25-10-19, dancing 8-8 with I Heart Heart Heart. '80s Heart. In the morning, like my mother. Yes, you know. The Bear Club, Kensington, London, 25-10-19. 8 till 8. Tickets on sale. JillianGoodson.com/80s now.